Yesterday, the Department of Health and Human Services and the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced new federal dietary guidelines. Some of the advice is going to sound familiar. Less sugar and less sodium, and fewer grain-based desserts, also known as cookies, cakes, and pie. Now, though, the suggestion is that Americans count fruits and vegetables not by a specific number of servings per day, but by the room they take up on your plate, and half is supposed to be good. If you have questions about the new dietary guidelines, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. NPR's April Fulton is a health editor here on the Science Desk, and she joins us in the studio in 3A. Nice to have you with us today.
Hi, Neil.
And we've mentioned this half a plate of fruit and vegetables. Is that a change in the basic recommendation, or is that just another simpler way to think about it?
Well, as you mentioned before, nothing in these dietary guidelines is super shockingly new. This is sort of the advice that nutrition experts have been telling us all along. But I think what they're trying to do in the new guidelines is to make it more visual, to make it easier to understand. How do you increase the amounts of fruits and vegetables you eat? Well, if you think about a plate and you divide it in half, that's a pretty good visual example. So do you know what 2 cups is or 3 cups is off the top of your head? If you see it on a plate, you're much more likely to start doing it.
So we've gone from the food pyramid to a pie chart.
Well, the pyramid is still in place for now, although they might revise that a little bit later. But a lot of people are speculating they may move more towards a plate.
Anything new in these rules that jumps out at you?
There are a few new things. Part of the problem is that 2/3 of adults in this country are overweight or obese. So clearly we're not eating the right things. And so the guidelines are trying to make it easier to understand what we should be eating. So there are some specifics in here. There's some new specifics on salt. Most Americans eat like 3,400 milligrams a day of salt, which is an awful lot. And they're suggesting that people should really only take in about 2,300 milligrams, which is about a teaspoon of salt. But they're making very specific recommendations for African Americans, people over the age of 51, and people with hypertension and some other diseases to cut that salt back to 1,500 milligrams. And that's a little less than half a teaspoon.
Why those discrete groups, African Americans, or people over 51?
Those groups are more at risk for the kind of diseases that salt would cause a problem for. So they are trying to suggest that people need to watch out for that more. And that's kind of a challenge because a lot of food we eat, we don't really know how much salt goes into restaurant food. We don't know often how much goes into the packaged products that we're eating. So that's part of the challenge.
And a lot of this is trying to find ways, as you mentioned, there are so many Americans who are overweight or obese that, in fact, whichever way they were trying to tell us before wasn't working real well. So they keep trying to come up with more effective ways to communicate the fact that we have to eat less and eat smarter.
That's right. I think it's all in the messaging. They're trying to make the message simpler and clearer for people.
And we also have heard over many years that, to some degree, the recommendations of the Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Agriculture reflect, American agriculture. There has some lobby group that has some important influence on the dietary recommendations.
That is part of the challenge, I think, here, because part of USDA's mission is to promote American agriculture. So that means livestock, that means cheese, that means, the commodity programs that we have. So you'll find in the dietary guidelines, they're pretty good about telling us what we should eat, what we should include, more fruits and vegetables, more whole grains, more low-fat milk. But when it comes to what we avoid, they're a little more euphemistic.
That's where you get into avoiding the grain-based desserts.
Exactly. And solid fats and things like that.
That would be never butter or cheese.
Exactly. Okay. They're never going to say, just don't eat red meat because it's a political issue.
It's a political issue. So as these guidelines come out, as the debate goes on, who are the voices in this argument?
You mean who helped set up the guidelines?
Yeah, I mean, obviously scientists do and dietitians and all of that.
But, yes, every 5 years.
Some of these other voices who get hurt.
Every 5 years, they issue revised guidelines since, I think, about 1980. So they have a whole process for forming a committee to advise the agencies on how, on what they should put in the guidelines, and they have public comment periods and everything. So anyone who wants to can have a say.
We're talking with April Fulton, who's a health editor on NPR's Science Desk, 800-989-8255. If you have questions about the new dietary guidelines that were issued this week, email us, talk@npr.org. And let's go first to Bill, and Bill with us from Flagstaff in Arizona.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
First of all, you consistently have a good show, Neil. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Here's my concern. I hear about, grain-based desserts and these things, and then I think about food stamps. You get food stamps, and you can go buy all the garbage you want. And so it would seem to me that if we want to put a little meat on the bones here, so to speak, maybe that's a bad analogy. maybe we ought to follow through here and take these guidelines and implement these guidelines as acceptable categories for food stamps.
They are starting to do that. Thanks for your question. They are starting
Thank
to
you.
Do that with the Women and Infants Children Nutrition Program and the Food Stamps Program. They are starting to, the government's starting to approach it more as a whole, not just there's this isolated USDA guideline mm-hmm. over here, but to put it in the context of Health and Human Services and FDA and all of the other agencies that are working on it. So there are efforts underway to improve the ability of food stamps to get fruits and vegetables, which do tend to be a bit more expensive. Also, Walmart is starting this new initiative with the First Lady on her First Move program that is aiming to bring down the prices of fruits and vegetables and allow more healthier foods, bring more healthier foods into the store. So
and
there are efforts.
We've also heard, obviously, food stamps these days are not books of stamps the way they used to be, but
right.
Coupons, but in fact a debit-like card.
Exactly.
And they are also working with various farmers cooperatives and
farmers
markets to make those debit cards available there so you can spend money on fresh food.
A lot of them also, if you do use that type of card at a farmer's market, they'll give you, it'll double your money. So it's worth doing.
Let's go next to Catherine. Catherine with us from Iowa City. Catherine?
Yes.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. My question is, when do the guidelines that were given become important to our getting things like insurance? This could be instituted by the government or local governments. We Uh-oh. Are already seeing things like taking trans fats out of food, some places that is mandatory. Things like qualifications for food stamps. School lunches, everybody's being told what they can and cannot eat.
So are you afraid, Catherine, that at some point the recommendations of the dietary guidelines will become mandates from the dietary guidelines?
Yes.
Okay. Is that anything like that in the cards, April Fulton?
I don't think so. I think one of their issues in writing this is that they've tried to be very careful about not saying that we shouldn't eat specific foods. And they have their own political reasons for doing that. But there's also a faction out there in the country, I think, that says, hey, why are you telling me what to eat? But the guidelines do set the standards for federal programs that supply food. So the school lunch program needs to follow the guidelines. And women and infants feeding programs need to follow them, too.
So a school lunch program that gets money from the federal government
yep.
will have to follow the guidelines in that half the plate, roughly, will have to be fruits and vegetables, and the quantities of various other things should be more or less in line with what the recommendations are.
That's the aim, and a lot of these things were already begun earlier this year when the school lunch child nutrition bill passed. So it's already in the works to do very similar things to the school lunch program.
And Catherine, thanks very much for the phone call. This is an email from Christopher. Why does the government keep giving guidelines regarding eating healthy, yet keep subsidizing the opposite? Less sugar, less red meat, but most agriculture subsidies go to cow, sugar beets, and other unhealthy products. It's cheaper to buy a burger with cheese than a stalk of celery. The whole dietary program in the U.S. is a joke as long as subsidies make it cheaper to keep Americans fat.
Well, that's the million-dollar question. I think a lot of people have the same questions. The problem for USDA is that it has these competing interests. So I think they're under a lot more pressure these days to promote health and not promote the commodities so much, but it still is part of their mission.
And promoting commodities is a part of the Department of Agriculture, which has a large say in devising these dietary guidelines.
Exactly.
All right. We're talking with where's the money? The subsidies? Which groups get those subsidies?
There's a lot of groups that get the subsidies, meats and dairy products and things are the main ones. A lot of people have suggested, rather than cutting back on those subsidies, maybe the government should consider subsidizing the healthier foods like fruits and vegetables. So that's an idea that's out there.
Sugar gets a lot of subsidies. And obviously corn gets a lot of subsidies, but a lot of that for ethanol as well. And, well, there's a whole bunch of reasons, and it's a whole other program to talk about where the agricultural subsidies go. They're up for debate in the Congress as they look for budgets to cut. We'll see how that goes down with farm senators as well. So it'll be interesting. April Fulton is with us, a health editor on NPR's Science Desk. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation coming to you from NPR News. And let's see if we get one more caller in. This is Ellen. Ellen with us from Baton Rouge.
Hi, I kind of have a question and a comment. I just wanted to say, I know there's several websites out there like Daily Plate, Living Strong, things like that, that I know when I was trying to lose weight, I went on to, and you can track and keep a food diary. And the thing I found interesting was a bowl of cereal for most you know, recommended on the serving size is 3/4 cup. But if you look at the average bowl that is sold, it's huge. And I don't think a lot of people out there are aware of how much they're overeating.
And restaurant portions are notoriously large in this country.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're large. And I don't know that maybe if they should institute a class to children, you know, early on, so they're aware of what they're doing to themselves.
There are a lot of nutrition experts studying just that, and they suggest that a smaller plate or a smaller bowl, if you start with a smaller bowl, you're likely to eat less, and that will help, you know, your goal of eating less calories in, more calories out. There's also a thing on the USDA website, I should point out, that's mypyramid.gov, and it's sort of like this diet plan that you've mentioned. There are several out there, but the government has one, too, that you can look up, and you enter your weight and your height and your age and what you ate today, and you can see how you stack up against the recommendations for your daily intake of different fruits and vegetables. It has this pretty cool, like, graphic that goes up and down, and there's different colors, and it's fun to poke around there.
And don't lie. Ellen, thanks very much for the phone call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And April Fulton, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
April Fulton, the health editor on NPR Science Desk, joined us here in Studio 3A. And again, you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.